It's Alan Russell here. Stay with me for the next hour as we chat with Ethan Locke, the gifted pianist from Falkirk in Scotland. We'll find out a little bit about his life, education, international competitions, technology, and much, much more. We'll also hear some of Ethan's compositions, some classical, some modern, and some of his own. And we'll also chat with Ethan's parents, Fraser and Lorinda. Was Ethan Locke. And when I tell you that Ethan is a teenager, you may be surprised. A great talent and an award winner. We're chatting with Ethan and his parents. Ethan, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
When did you first have an interest in the piano? Was it from a very early age?
Yeah, I actually was first exposed to the piano when I was 18 months old. My mum basically showed me how the piano worked and how it sounded, and it was really freeing, and I was able to express myself in whatever way I wanted. It was so amazing to have all those different musical possibilities quite literally in my fingertips. I would say that I started to learn the piano when I was 4 years old. That was when my mom started formal piano lessons with me. But before that, I did have a bit of improvisation, but when I was learning music, I would often find that learning music made my improvisation easier because I had different techniques to express myself.
Do you mainly play by ear?
It's mostly by ear. It was always pretty much by ear. I often prefer to learn pieces and just memorize them. I do know Braille music, and I've often found it very useful for learning musical concepts, and it's always been very good for learning different terms and stuff, and I'm very glad that I learned it. But I've often found that in terms of learning music, it's a little bit time consuming because you've got to read with one hand and play with one hand, and it actually does take a long time. And especially at my level, I'm playing at a very high level, and some of the pieces that I'm learning would make producing Braille music very time consuming, and the scores are often either very, very expensive or not available. So really, what I like to do instead is I like to listen to multiple recordings of a piece just to get a feel of it, and then build a sort of auditory construction of it in my mind. And then that's when I would learn the notes of the piece. And then I'd go through the score with a sighted reader who would inform me of many mistakes that I may have made in my learning of the piece. And I would always find that learning it by ear also gives me a good chance to listen to different interpretations of it and kind of get a good feel for the piece. So yeah, it's pretty much all been by ear ever since I started.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Alan Russell with you, and I am chatting with Ethan Loch, the teenage pianist from Falkirk in Scotland, learning a little bit about his life at the piano, learning about the competitions, the awards, and his hope for the future. We also have with us Lorinda and Fraser, Ethan's mum and dad. And Lorinda, you are a piano player and a teacher, but did you think going back all those years that Ethan would be at this stage?
When I look back to the very beginnings of Ethan at the piano, he was a toddler and he would be happy to spend hours at the piano, either with me by his side. We would play lots of games. The games always seemed to stimulate language. He used to get so very excited and be very chatty and talk to me through stories and games and just generally exploring what the instrument could do. And I used to always think that other children his age, around about 18 months, 2 years old, were jumping off couches and exploring kitchen cupboards, things like that. Ethan was much happier to be left at a piano. I guess in those early months and years, we kept sort of waiting. I was waiting for a tune to come out of the piano that we would all recognise in the house. And it was actually my oldest son at the time who came running into the kitchen and said, Mum, quick, come and hear this. Ethan's playing London Bridge. I said, is it right? And he said, it's right. It's all there. So it's hard when you look back to think that could be blossoming into a pianist who's taking part in international competitions and receiving professional qualifications at age 16. That's something I really don't think I could see that far ahead in those years. But I also believe in the abilities developed in every human being, really, in every child. And so I guess with that sort of belief and passion about the development of young children, I guess the answer to that is, of course, he could reach his potential. It's a long way to go in the piano world to reach your final potential.
How do you balance the playing and the competitions with that word, his education?
I guess when we decided to have him at home for his education, that sort of freed up travelling time to and from a school or learning institution. So that allowed us to have a little bit more flexibility in our timetable. In the early years, teaching him to learn Braille, to read and write in Braille, was challenging because I had to learn the Braille code. So I had to go and study grade one and grade two Braille. And a lot of time was spent producing books and materials that I felt were going to be helpful and that Ethan could access. And so we had a very good maths course at the time. Matthew C was the books that we used. It's an American course. And the first two books in that series we had to Braille. So that was terribly time consuming. And then there was obviously childhood experiences. Ethan loved going to the park. You know, we did lots of picnics and dog walks at the time and many different things like that. As he came into sort of more secondary age, well, I think it's just applies to every young person reaching that level in school. You just have to buckle down and get on with it. So we focused mostly on, I guess, English history, music. We looked at modern studies and psychology, and we did different subjects like that. But I guess, as with any music student studying at specialist music school, your academic path, if you like, can be adjusted and re-sort of structured to accommodate all the time that's required to be developing ability at the instrument.
I have to say, I really do enjoy studying in a home educated environment because it gives me the freedom to work around my own schedule. I'm not usually attached to a school routine. I often find I work a lot better when I'm able to organize my time independently. I also think that it's better if you're a pianist, if you're able to organize your time the way you want to. You've got to fit in a lot of practice in between your studies. And it's a lot easier if you can study at a specific time and then practice the piano afterwards. If I did have to make a case for what I missed about a school environment, I would say that I probably miss the social aspect of it a little bit. But that is very much quenched by the many difficulties I find in working in routine. I would say, though, that every Monday I went on the train to the Glasgow Conservatoire. It was a really, really good experience because as a blind person, it taught me a lot of navigational skills and navigating around the city. And when I arrived in the conservatoire, the piano tuition I got there was amazing. Vali Pavri is my teacher. He's the associate head of keyboard He's been very good at my musicality, and he's expanded my repertoire. It's been a very, very good experience. And also after the lesson, sometimes I'd be able to go into lunchtime concerts with the conservatoire students, and I'd be able to listen to other people playing who are the same kind of level.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Alan Russell with you, and I am chatting with Ethan Loch, the teenage pianist from Falkirk in Scotland, learning a little bit about his life at the piano, learning about the competitions, the awards, and his hope for the future. We are going to chat a little bit about some of the awards and the competitions. I'd like to go back to 2016. I think it was your very first big win at the Vatican in Rome.
It was always a very, very amazing experience that I would never forget. The people who were there were clearly into the arts and were clearly very, very supportive of all the amazing things I was into. And it was really, really amazing just to play in front of such a big audience. I think it was the biggest audience that I played in front of. And to be able to just go to a different country and experience what it's like there.
This was the Premio Assoluto Prize. Was it scary in front of a large crowd, or do you just disappear into the piano?
Well, honestly, I don't really think about large crowds very much because usually I can often not know they're there. But when it comes to thinking about speaking there, I often find that when I'm public speaking, I often get a little bit overwhelmed because back then I was still learning aspects of language back then. And it was a little bit scary having to go up on stage and display myself in public. But as soon as I went to the piano, I have to say, all of that stress, all that overwhelming feeling went away. And I was just able to think about playing my music and communicating what I wanted to communicate. And it was really, really powerful.
Ethan Locke is a teenager like any other, and despite being registered blind, he enjoys gaming, music, and indeed his music has extended to playing the piano. From a very early age, Ethan has become a bit of a virtuoso on the ivories, winning many international awards. Now we're going to be chatting with Ethan and his parents, Fraser and Lorinda, and we'll hear some of his compositions as well, some classical, some modern, and some of his own pieces. Fraser, Ethan has picked up so many awards nationally and internationally. It must be something to be incredibly proud of, but probably a lot of travelling in there as well.
I think everyone as a family and even our extended family are extremely proud of what he's done. I think in regards to travelling, there's the two stages. One is the stage before he's done his performance, and that's usually quite tense because you're traveling to a new city, you're trying to find somewhere to practice the piano, and then once he's actually, you know, done a competition or got an award and played there, then after that you can just kind of relax and have a nice holiday in an interesting place with interesting people.
What's it like seeing him on stage and listening to him playing, you know, when you know there's a crowd there to see him?
Well, he's very cool, very composed, and we're always an absolute nervous wreck without fail. Every single competition it's completely traumatic for my wife and I, just seeing him there, because you just don't know what's going to happen, and he likes that level of excitement. But yeah, we would rather not experience that terror of seeing him up there and not knowing what's going to do. But as soon as he's finished, there's this just a wave of relief and happiness that comes over us, that it's went well or it's not went well, but it's that he's done his best and we're really proud.
Is there perhaps a festival or a competition or an event that stands out for you?
I think one of the most amazing experiences was really when he went to take part in Little Big Shots. I remember sitting in the audience, obviously you're on television, the cameras are up there, but really all these kids, they get one shot at the performance, that's it. And that was a tough one for me because I wasn't beside him on the stage at all. I didn't, for that particular performance, I didn't walk him out onto the stage. He walked out himself, and then Don French came to meet him halfway. And so when I watched him work with the producers, he was attached to microphones, and the producers would come up and give him the instructions as to what they were going to do next. And I was just really concerned. I was sitting watching it all thinking, oh, you know, is he going to be able to manage this? And of course, Ethan being Ethan, is never fazed by anything. So that was a really lovely experience, and just seeing him up chatting to a stranger in front of the world, really, and enjoying it and being confident and the conversation was lovely. So for me, it's a response that Ethan will often receive after his live recitals from the public, and very often there will be people that approach us at the end with tears in their eyes and describe how Ethan moved them and communicated something special. You get comments, for example, like, oh, that piece was one of my mother's favourites. And as I was listening to him play it, it just reminded me of the lovely memories I have, you know, with my mother. Or a lady once came up after this Vatican award at the end and said, and she was from Greece, and she'd said, there are many people in the world who have many things to say, but say very little. But she says, you say so much with very few words. That was very moving. And the sincerity at which the people will come up and say that, which is really your encouragement. And I think as a blind musician and a blind person, a young person, sort of branching out into the world is very, very important. It can be very daunting, very scary. They don't have the same visual cues that sighted people have for obvious reasons. And I just think for Ethan, he's always sort of said to me, Mum, you know, I love playing because it's I really have a real sense of the fact that people listen to what I have to say, you know, in a conversation. Sometimes a young blind person maybe can be overlooked. So I think there's many. I could probably fill the whole radio program with many different experiences like that.
are chatting with Ethan Locke and his parents, Fraser and Lorinda, learning a bit about Ethan's love of the piano and the international tournaments and prizes, and indeed how he progresses his playing. And I was just wondering, Ethan, about composers or pianists. Are there any that particularly influence you, or any that perhaps you like to listen to for inspiration?
My all-time favorite pianist is Vladimir Horowitz. He was really the inspiration for my piano playing. When I was 4, I would just put a CD on. Of course, I was actually exposed to a lot of different pianists. And by far, my favorite DVD was listening to Vladimir Horowitz's one of his last concerts. And it was really beautiful because I love the way that he expressed his melody and performed his pieces. It was really powerful, and he was my inspiration to be able to sound like that. And my favorite composer was definitely Chopin, because I think that his music is very much into the romantic style and is very, very melodic and expressive. And one thing I really like about Chopin is the way that he communicates, the way that his kind of sincerity and his ability to communicate in his compositions. I love the things he communicates, and he's often been my inspiration to keep going, especially when I'm in a bad day and when music feels a little bit tough. I usually just listen to a Chopin piece, and I'm usually a lot more relaxed. So I'd say that they're definitely my favorite people in music, and are definitely my biggest influence.
I was hoping that you might mention Ralph the dog from the Muppet Show, I was an early inspiration.
Oh, yeah, he was another inspiration. The Muppet Show, I actually don't remember it too well because I was very, very young when it happened. But Ralph the piano playing dog was a very big inspiration. I really loved the possibility of a dog being able to go into the piano and play the Moonlight Sonata.
People may laugh, but I have watched some of this on YouTube after reading that, and Ralph was an incredibly good player.
For a dog,
he was outstanding. And in terms of your playing then, do you prefer the classics, or do you like to try some more modern songs?
Yeah, I definitely have a multi-layered interest of different styles. I'd say that my preference would definitely be within the classical or romantic era. But if the modern pieces have a very interesting beat or a very nice chord progression, I usually warm to them and I'm able to learn from them. I do have quite a few favorite modern composers, Bill Withers, Gregory Porter, and I've enjoyed learning their pieces.
Ethan Locke is a teenager like any other, and despite being registered blind, he enjoys gaming, music, and indeed his music has extended to playing the piano. From a very early age, Ethan has become a bit of a virtuoso on the ivories, winning many international awards. Now we're going to be chatting with Ethan and his parents, Fraser and Lorinda, and we'll hear some of his compositions as well, some classical, some modern, and some of his own pieces. Have you received any help from sight loss charities in terms of, you know, equipment or advice?
When Ethan was, I think just before his 11th birthday, we managed to access the charity Victa, and they helped us purchase his first Apex Braille machine. And without that purchase, I just can't imagine where his education would be, because being able to Braille on an actual computer just speeds up the whole process. And when you look back at the old-fashioned way of learning Braille with the old Perkins Braillers, and everything had to be Brailled by hand, and the advancements in technology have made a huge difference to educational development of blind children, and Ethan obviously is included in that. So that was huge. I think if I was ever to meet them, I'd have to give them a hug. We're so delighted that Ethan was able to receive the equipment, because that has, you can't do life without that machine. I mean, obviously now he goes on to computers, but always to have access to the Braille has been very important. We also use iCaliber. Ethan receives 3 audio books from them every month, because books has always been one of his interests and passions to read. It can be very expensive for parents trying to provide access to the audio books. So this just, it really just helps to take the financial burden away from parents raising a blind child, so they've been excellent as well.
We are talking with Ethan Locke and his parents Fraser and Lorinda, learning a little bit about his love of the piano, his international playing and his achievements. I suppose we could look at this as playing and reading music as well, Ethan, or perhaps, you know, education or leisure time. Do you use assistive technology because of your sight loss?
Yeah, I definitely use a wide range of assistive technology. I use, for instance, for my musical development, I use an Amazon Echo device. That's been very useful for listening to music, especially in Amazon Music. I just create like hundreds of playlists with all the pieces I'm interested in or want to learn at the time. And it's just really powerful to just be able to sit in your desk and be able to call any musical piece just by the sound of your voice. And for my mainstream education, I would say the Braille Note Touch has been a very powerful influence. The ability to create Word documents and just send normal emails to tutors. And for my literal education, it's been very good from the perspective of reading books. I actually am a very big fan of reading books. When I was younger, I read the Harry Potter series in its entirety in the Braille Note. And I usually use my phone for going into YouTube and looking for musical videos that I like watching. I also have other devices like a laptop, which I use for playing games, for doing my leisure activities in. So yeah, I'd say assistive technology has been very important in my life.
Thank you. Ethan Locke is a teenager with a huge talent for playing the piano, indeed composing some of his own pieces as well. We're chatting with Ethan and his parents to learn a little bit about how you mix that with your everyday life, education and your leisure time. Ethan, you have competed around the world. Do you get a buzz from it?
Yeah, I'd definitely say that I get a huge buzz from competing around the world and playing pianos. But I would say, believe it or not, that it doesn't come from the motivation of winning a special prize or being the best in a competition. I would say the real thing that's in it for me is having the opportunity to just play in a different country, in a different hall, in a different piano, being able to play in front of people, a new audience, and also to listen to other kids who are also doing the same thing and to kind of learn from them in a way and to kind of get a view of the standard. And usually adjudicators are very good for giving me feedback so I can use it for self-improvement. So I'd say the buzz for me in terms of competitions is mostly about the opportunities that it gives me and the way that I'm able to improve and I'm able to play in a different place. It's always been that for me in competitions.
We mentioned earlier about performing at the Vatican in Rome back in 2016. Just looking at some of the other competitions, 2017, the 7th James Waterhouse Loreto Piano Advanced Class. And as part of that, you got to play at Steinway Hall. That was quite a remarkable place to play.
Yeah, it was really amazing. I was able to learn a lot about how a piano was made and really how the tool that I'm using to communicate works. And believe me, if they had just locked me in the room for like 5 days, I would probably not want to get out because being in a room with so many pianos was so amazing. It was really, really cool. And being able to perform in front of people. And I'd say the Steinway Hall experience was a very, very interesting prize to win because it gave me the opportunity to have an experience that I would never forget.
Going abroad, you had two appearances in the wonderful Festival of Chopin. That was in Mazovia in Poland. You won the 3rd and 4th categories with some other highlights, including performing at Chopin's house. That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, when I performed in the Category 3 class, when I was first in Poland, I didn't even know that it was Chopin's house. So when I went to the Category 4 thing, and somebody told me that was Chopin's house, I was like, what? It was like performing in one of my favorite composers' houses. It was really amazing. And Poland was definitely really good because it's more of a festival than a competition. So you weren't always worried about getting a place or winning it. It was a very beautiful thing because it wasn't a rival thing. It was more of a festival. So I think that would be one of my favorite competitions.
In terms of academic success, Ethan, you have the Associate of Trinity College London. That was a mark of 92 out of 100. Was that an exam?
That was my first diploma. It was kind of difficult getting it. It was a very long, hard working process, but it was very nice to hear the result at the end of it.
Thank you. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Alan Russell with you, and I am chatting with Ethan Loch, the teenage pianist from Falkirk in Scotland, learning a little bit about his life at the piano, learning about the competitions, the awards, and his hope for the future. We've talked a lot about the competitions and the festivals and the academic side of things. What do you do to relax or unwind?
I like doing physical activities such as riding my bike with a friend, riding the tandem, and I love swimming because it's really, really amazing to go underwater, and it's a really different auditory experience when you're underwater because you can hear all sorts of beautiful sounds, like the bubbles that you make all sorts of different pitches, and if you splash water, it actually makes this really interesting sound underneath it. Now, I like to play audio computer games. I also really enjoy reading audiobooks. I think my favorite author so far is Matt Haig, and I love watching TV. I think one of my all-time favorite sitcoms is The Big Bang Theory. It's one of the funniest things, and I actually memorized a few of the things from it. So, yeah.
I'm with you on The Big Bang Theory. It's a fantastic program, one of my favorites as well. Honestly, it is, absolutely. What about the future then for Ethan Loch, whether that's education or a job? Look into the future. What's your goal?
Well, honestly, I don't really think about it right now. I'm very kind of concerned with getting my exams out of the way right now, but I definitely think I want to make music my career, or at the very least part of my career. It's always been my life, and it's always been something that I wanted to pursue. And I'd say that for the future, I would like to perform into more concerts and compose more music and probably release more albums. So I think that's probably what I have planned for the future right now.
We're going to play it with one of your own compositions. Before we do, I just wanted to say thank you very much for telling us your story. Good luck with the playing and good luck for the future.
Thanks for having me.
I think for Ethan's future, what we would really want is whatever path he takes, that he's happy. Certainly music makes him happier than anything else that we've found, and he really enjoys it so much. We would love music to be a major part of his career, his life in the future. And I think we're doing whatever we can to help him achieve that goal.
I hope that there will be some more rewarding and exciting times ahead for him in the study of piano performance. It's a full-time commitment. It requires a huge amount of self-motivation and focus and energy. You have to be quite, I think, self-driven as a performing musician. And who knows what doors open in the future for him.